When Baha'u'llah left the fortress prison of Acca, he went outside the city to a garden now called the Garden of Rizwan. It was a garden that was surrounded by the waters of the ancient river Belus, a river now called in Israel Naaman. So we see Baha'u'llah came from the fortress to the river, exactly as Micah foretold. And Micah didn't stop his prophecies there. Micah is still speaking of the Promised One.
In that day he shall come even to thee from sea to sea.
Did Baha'u'llah do that? He certainly did. Baha'u'llah was driven from sea to sea on his way to Israel. Baha'u'llah sailed on the Black Sea along the northern coast of Turkey on his exile to Constantinople. He crossed the Mediterranean Sea on his last exile to the Holy Land. Baha'u'llah, the glory of God, came to the very land to which the prophecies of old said the glory of God would come from the east. And there was Baha'u'llah at last in the Holy Land. He was driven there by his enemies, who, without knowing it, helped him, Baha'u'llah, to fulfill all these marvelous prophecies. The prophecies of Micah are still not finished, though. There's still more. Micah says,
in that day also he shall come even to thee from mountain to mountain.
Ask yourself, did Baha'u'llah do that too? Exactly that. Just as His Holiness Christ withdrew into the desert before His mission began, so Baha'u'llah too withdrew. He went into the mountains of Kurdistan near Sulaymaniyya in Iraq. On Mount Sargalu in Iraq, Baha'u'llah revealed wonderful words and wonderful teachings.
Baha'u'llah came in exile from Mount Sargalu in Iraq to Mount Carmel in the Holy Land, from mountain to mountain, exactly as Micah had prophesied.
Baha'u'llah stood on the side of Mount Carmel, and he announced that the promises had been fulfilled. The Promised One, so long hidden from the mortal eyes of the world, had now appeared, he said. In the very next verse, still from that same chapter, Micah tells us another wonderful thing. He prophesies exactly how long God will have His messenger, His Promised One, feed His flock in those last days. It's true. These are Micah's words. Micah says that God will show unto him, meaning the Redeemer, marvelous things. And how long will God do that? Micah tells us it will be for 40 years. Listen.
Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which dwells solitarily in the wood in the midst of Carmel, as in the days of old. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things.
For 40 years, Micah says. This is the length of the time the Jews spent coming out of the land of Egypt. 40 years. Baha'u'llah's mission on earth lasted exactly that length of time. 40 years. In the same chapter 14 of the book of Numbers, which tells how the Jews will wander in the wilderness for 40 years, it is also written that,
as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord.
Imagine that. In that day, the earth would be filled with the glory of the Lord. And that is what Baha'u'llah's name means. It was to him, Baha'u'llah, the glory of the Lord, that Micah said God would show wonderful things for 40 years. And he did. Baha'u'llah wrote over 100 volumes dealing with all the needs of mankind in a ministry lasting 40 years. During the 40 years of his mission, Baha'u'llah wrote over 100 volumes. He addressed letters and messages to the kings and rulers of the world, to the leaders of mankind, to the heads of great religions, to the peoples of these religions, and to the peoples of the world, to scholars, philosophers, students, to leaders in the intellectual, political, literary, mystical, commercial, humanitarian spheres of human activity. No one was left out. No one. Was that feeding his flock or not? For 40 years, God showed to Baha'u'llah wonderful things. Baha'u'llah shared these wonderful things, these teachings, with all mankind. There's still more, and it's still the same Micah talking. Micah prophesies of Baha'u'llah's coming in still another chapter. Micah promises in chapter 4, verse 1, that in the last days the house of the Lord will be established in the mountain. He says,
In the last days, the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and people shall flow unto it.
Baha'u'llah's world center is established there on the side of the mountain of God. The supreme body which now directs the affairs of Baha'u'llah's faith is known by that name, House. It is called the Universal House of Justice. Another prophet, Habakkuk, said, Prophecy.
Chapter 2, verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
His teachings are already covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. Many nations will flow unto this house of the Lord, said Micah, and the law shall go forth from that mountain. The nations will come and say, Let us go up to the house of the Lord, and then God will teach us his ways.
Of course, we should understand. The house of the Lord was established as soon as Baha'u'llah appeared on that mountain. That is the fulfillment of the prophecy.
But that was only the beginning of the fulfillment. How much greater the fulfillment becomes when we see that Baha'u'llah himself, on the side of that mountain, called for a supreme, democratically elected administrative body to rule the affairs of the world. Baha'u'llah gave to the body its title, the Universal House of Justice. The prophet Isaiah also spoke about this house of the Lord on the mountain of God in the Holy Land. Like Baha'u'llah, Isaiah associated that house with the word justice. This is the same Isaiah who said that Mount Carmel would see the glory of the Lord. That's Baha'u'llah's name, isn't it? Let's hear a little more about justice and peace and about this great Messiah from chapter 9, verse 7 in the book of Isaiah.
Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice.
Note the words, with justice.
And with justice from henceforth even forever.
Baha'u'llah reminded the people of this very prophecy of Isaiah. Baha'u'llah said to them, I'm quoting now, The most great law is come, and the ancient beauty ruleth upon the throne of David. Thus hath my pen spoken that which the histories of bygone ages have revealed. End of quotation. Let us clearly understand that this prophecy about the house of the Lord means much more than just the fulfillment of the prophecy of Baha'u'llah's coming. It plainly means that this house of the Lord would be a house in which the followers of the Promised One would come and would work for the good of mankind in those last days. The remnant of God. The Old Testament prophet Haggai, speaking of the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, chapter 1, points out that there would be troublemakers who would say, I'm quoting his words now, This people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. End of quotation. When that happens, the Lord of hosts warns such people, saying, Consider your ways. How well that applies to those who say the same thing about the time not being right now for the return of Christ or the building of the house. These words are from verses 13 and 14.
Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the spirit of all the remnant of the people came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts.
Yes, Baha'u'llah raised up the house of the Lord and called it a house of justice. Baha'u'llah himself said that he was the one about whom Isaiah was speaking. Let us use this one prophecy of Isaiah about the Prince of Peace to show you how true these words are. This famous reference to the Prince of Peace comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, prophecy.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
That prophecy is often read in Christian churches on Christmas Day. The prophecy is taken to be a reference to Christ, even though most of the things in the prophecy do not apply to His Holiness Christ. Now let's look at the prophecy once again. Now that the books have been unsealed, let us examine it phrase by phrase and see exactly to whom it does refer. prophecy.
The government shall be upon his shoulder.
Christ made it clear that this certainly did not apply to him. Christ said, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." Christ also said, "My kingdom is not of this world." But with Baha'u'llah, the government is upon his shoulder. Baha'u'llah undertook the entire reorganization of human society. He provided the institutions necessary to maintain it, as well as the authority and the guidance for its future. In his Lord's Prayer, Christ made it clear that the kingdom of God would appear on earth in the last days.
"Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven."
The beginning of this kingdom of God on earth has already taken place. The Baha'i faith, guided by the teachings of Baha'u'llah, has already begun to establish this Christ-promised kingdom of God on earth in every continent. Baha'u'llah himself wrote, "Followers of the gospel, the Father hath come. That which ye were promised in the kingdom of God is fulfilled." What about the next phrase in this prophecy of Isaiah, Marguerite?
"And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God."
Almost all of these phrases Christ himself specifically repudiated. It's as though Christ wanted to make certain that such mistaken references to himself would not mislead people in the day of his return. Christ disclaimed being the Mighty God when he called himself the Son of God. Christ was not the Counselor. His message was a beautiful one of love to the individual, to draw mankind back to God. Baha'u'llah, on the other hand, was the Counselor. His message was one of justice for society. It was for all mankind. Baha'u'llah himself wrote of his counsels to the rulers of men. He even called them that, counsels. What about the next phrase of Isaiah's prophecy?
"The everlasting Father."
Well, if there's anything clear, it is this, that Christ did not consider himself the Father. Jesus continually differentiated between himself and the Father. In many such references, such as, "Him that sent me," "My Father is greater than I," "I go unto the Father," "I will pray the Father," "I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me," Jesus made it abundantly clear that no prophecy about the Father could refer to him. Christ even stated that the Father had knowledge which was not possessed by the Son, saying,
"But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father."
Although it is plain that in most of these references, Christ is speaking of God when he speaks of the Father, even so, Jesus made it equally plain that just as he, Christ, had come in the station of the Son, the time would come in the last days when he, Christ, would return in the station of the Father. He told us this in the 8th chapter of Mark, verse 38.
"When he, the Son of Man, cometh in the glory of his Father."
Matthew, in the 25th chapter of his book, says plainly that this will be the day when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. "Watch therefore," Christ warned his followers, "for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh."